This hour of the Jason Rand Show brought to you by Primary Residential Mortgage, PRMI. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? National.
More riots last night after an officer was shot and killed, an officer shot and killed a suspect who fled during an arrest. We now know that it was an accidental discharge of the weapon, that the officer actually intended to use her taser. It happened in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. And as a result of that, we had a night of rioting and looting. Tonight, we have a city under curfew that starts 7 p.m. their time, which is in about an hour, a little under an hour from now. The question then becomes, what's going to happen on the ground in this city, about 10 miles or so outside of Minneapolis? So here's what we know. 20-year-old Dante Wright was pulled over. He had an outstanding warrant for his arrest. So police officers decided to arrest him. That is what you do. He very clearly resisted arrest and got back into his car to drive off. In fact, he did end up driving off. One of the officers, a veteran officer, shouted taser twice, at least twice, before shooting him with what she thought was a taser. But it was actually her gun. It's a little difficult to hear the way that the press conference went down because they showed a video. And so other cameras picked up the video. But everything was pretty clear as to the way it went down. He drives away, he ends up crashing because he was shot, and he ends up dying of that gunshot at the scene. Now, the Brooklyn Center Police Chief, Tim Gannon, spoke at this press conference today, first to explain the protocol in using the taser.
As you can hear, the officer, while struggling with Mr. Wright, shouts, "Taser, taser," several times. That is part of the officer's training prior to deploying a taser, which is a less lethal device. That is done to make her partners aware, as well as the subject, that a taser deployment will be imminent. During this encounter, however, the officer drew their handgun instead of their taser. For informational purposes, we train with our handguns on our dominant side and our taser on our weak side. So if you're right-handed, you carry your firearm on your right side and you carry your taser on the left.
Now, I think it's fair to say that when you hear the officer saying taser, taser, and in fact she uses a weapon, there can be one of two explanations. The good faith explanation from folks like myself would be that it was accidental, that she grabbed what she thought was a taser and it wasn't. The bad faith analysis that you get from a lot of folks on the left who went into this already hating police officers, either pretending that this was done intentionally, that this was a murder, or that it doesn't matter whatsoever. And I would say it does matter. Ultimately, someone is still dead. Dante is dead as a result of this. But Dante was not killed as a result of any malice. And to be clear, as much as, yes, this is a tragedy, Dante would not be dead had he not resisted. We have to have that conversation, as uncomfortable as it might make some folks who like to demonize cops at every chance they can. You risk this outcome, whether it's a result of an intentional use of force with a gun or an accident, as seems to be the case here. You risk that when you resist arrest. And this was not someone who merely resisted arrest. He resisted, got into the car to drive away. Would anyone have a problem had this officer used a taser? Would anyone have a problem today?
No.
Would there have been riots last night for the use of a taser, given the circumstances?
No.
Why?
Because it's a non-lethal move. Still be alive?
Still be alive, but why'd she use it? Was it justified?
Yes.
Why was it justified?
Because he was restraining arrests. Resisting arrests.
He was resisting. He was trying to get away. Someone who had a warrant for his arrest. That is an important part of this conversation. People want to pretend otherwise. People want to pretend otherwise. It was a mistake. It was a deadly mistake. It was absolutely a deadly mistake that should not have happened. The officer is not completely cleared in this. It wasn't murder. But the officer did make a mistake, and it turned out to be a deadly one.
As I watched the video and listened to the officer's commands, it is my belief that the officer had the intention to deploy their taser, but instead shot Mr. Wright with a single bullet. This appears to me, from what I viewed and the officer's reaction and distress immediately after, that this was an accidental discharge that resulted in the tragic death of Mr. Wright. I have asked the BCA to conduct an independent investigation into the shooting and death. Once they are completed, I expect they will submit their findings, independent of me, to the appropriate authorities, the appropriate attorneys that will look and review this case.
Now, activists are claiming that this was, quote, yet another murder of a black man. The governor, Tim Walz, pushed essentially the same talking point online. And as a result, last night, people rioted for Black Lives Matter. Because nothing says Black Lives Matter like looting a GameStop for the latest Xbox or PlayStations. Or the UPS store for boxes. People destroyed businesses all in the name of Black Lives Matter. Or they used it for cover so that they can steal the new Xbox game that they've been wanting to play but didn't want to buy. You can be upset over what happened. I think that's a natural reaction. It is a tragedy. That officer, you think that officer wanted to kill someone? Pulling what she thought was a taser, you think that's what she wanted to do? She didn't. But it is a risk that individuals take when they decide to ignore police officers. When they decide to attack officers, we say on the show all the time. When you decide that you're going to attack an officer, you should expect that that officer is going to protect themselves. Same thing. If you resist arrest and try to get in a car to drive away from the officers trying to make that arrest, your expectation shouldn't even be that a taser be used. But the officer intended to use that taser. She didn't. It was an accident. And now activists are using this to forward this narrative that officers are out there just wantonly killing innocent black men. It is not true. And it didn't justify last night's riot. Although, depending on who you ask, it wasn't a riot at all. The police chief was speaking not just to reporters, but some activists in the community.
Just so everybody's clear, I was front and center at the protest, at the riot. We did not.
There was no riot.
Oh, no, there was no riot last night. What do you call looting and destruction? What do you call violence towards officers? What is the definition of a riot? Perhaps they've changed that, because folks on the left love to change a whole bunch of words, the meanings of these words, changing definitions to fit their activist view. What exactly was it that we saw? Because I remember the rocks and the bottles being thrown at police officers.
Oh, they're taking bottles and rocks.
Oh. What was that? That wasn't a peaceful protest, was it? You can write this script. The question is, what happens tonight? And I fear, because we've seen this script before, we're going to see more unrest. And there's implications to that. There are implications to this, because what's happening just 10 miles away, the Derek Chauvin trial. A trial that pretty much from the beginning was guaranteed to not give a fair and objective trial to Derek Chauvin, because there's no There's no juror who, if they thought Derek Chauvin did not, his actions didn't rise to the level of murder, there's no juror who could reasonably think, hey, you know what, I'm just going to rule according to law and the public will understand. There's going to be riots if they were to do that, and that weighs on them. And that's not fair to the officer who's being tried, who's supposed to get a fair trial. It's impossible. And last night just showed why. 1-800-465-8770. If you want to send me a text, 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, what we were told could not be done to fix traffic is being done. We're going to get into that when we come back. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending on the road?
We were told that you can't build your way out of traffic in Washington State. It was what we were told by Lynn Peterson, the former Washington State Department of Transportation Secretary before Republicans fired her, for a very long time. Republicans for years said, well, yes, you can. In some circumstances, you can. Democrats, no, you can't. The only way that you're going to be able to stop this traffic is light rail and buses and bikes, while simultaneously behind the scenes acknowledging there's no way that's going to change anything as it relates to traffic. WashDOT just announced that they will, in fact, add an extra northbound lane on I-5 through downtown Seattle. It's going to happen soon. I guess they couldn't do this during the COVID shutdowns, which resulted in almost no one driving on I-5 for a good portion of last year. That would have made some sense. So they're going to wait until people start to get back on the road to go ahead and do the project, which then, of course, results in way worse traffic as before. But still, beggars can't be choosers.
That would have made way too much sense, Jason. These people aren't allowed to make sense.
They told us you can't build your way out of traffic. And yet, that's what they're doing in JBLM, like right outside JBLM on I-5. They're building, like, it's so ludicrous. What we were told over and over and over again. Mark Hollenbeck is the director of the Washington State Department, the Washington State Transportation Center over at the UW. He spoke to King 5. And he says that I-5 through Seattle never anticipated this much traffic. So obviously this is good news.
It's a headache because it was designed in the 1950s. And there was absolutely no concept that Seattle would be as big as it is.
They did not have faith. No faith.
I want to know what they expected. Like, oh yeah, we have a nice quaint town here that'll never get bigger than the Smith Tower.
Well, they probably thought, look, I can see our homelessness population just exploding due to lack of leadership. They thought this even in the 50s. There's no way people are dumb enough to continue to come here.
Wow.
It turns out a lot of dumb people.
People in the 50s were smart.
King 5 says there are two through lanes on northbound I-5 just after the Seneca Street off-ramp. This project will add an additional lane between the Seneca Street off-ramp and the Olive Way off-ramp by replacing existing barriers, rails, and curbs with a thinner barrier. So they're just basically fitting it in. But the question then becomes, will this actually make a difference?
Yes, there will be definite improvements because a lot of that drop will go away. Will it still be congested? Will you still get stuck on Boeing Field periodically? Yes.
Okay, but that's certainly better than definitely getting stuck for large amounts of time.
Why do they have to be doing this right there? Right, like, I drive through this every day. It's going to slow me down while they're changing it. And then you're going to fire me right when that thing opens up, and I'm never going to be able to experience it.
You put that on my calendar.
To fire me?
When this, just to remind me.
Right when WASCA.
Yeah, put it on my calendar for, let's do August.
Okay, that's job security until then. It's better than, you know, getting fired tomorrow.
Yeah, fair enough. That's the glass half full. So how much of a difference is this truly going to make? Obviously, it makes a little bit of a difference, right? You get an extra lane. Of course, it's going to help. How much will it actually help?
Absolutely. It will be a huge win.
Huge win.
It will turn your awful, really gross, terrible commute to just a really lousy commute, you know? And will you be happy that you gained 5 minutes back? Sure, absolutely. But is it going to make you sing praises, you know, for what a wonderful commute you now have? No.
Okay, so now I got some questions and concerns.
I like this guy.
Go from the worst commute in the world to the most lousy in the world. So not a lot of difference. And he's basically saying you'll save about 5 minutes, right?
Yes.
Now, I don't know if that's based on any studies or is that him just sort of offhandedly saying it's not going to be that much. Okay, so here's the question. Is it then worth it?
to save 5 minutes?
The pain and cost associated with this project. Obviously, there's going to be short-term pain for however long this project actually entails. And I'm assuming it's going to go about 17 months longer than it's supposed to, because of course. And obviously, it's going to be expensive and will likely go over budget by $23 trillion because, of course, it's a government agency. WatchDOT is bad with money. Is it worth it to save 5 minutes?
Yeah, to save, a couple thousand people 5 minutes a day?
Well, I mean, it's more than a couple thousand. It's several thousand people. And that backup does impact much more than just downtown Seattle. There are people who have to take I-5 and don't go into or out of downtown Seattle at all. They're just passing through. They live maybe in Puyallup and they work in Shoreline, and so they take I-5. That's the best way for them. So it's saving a lot of people 5 minutes. So the question is, as someone who commutes to and from Newcastle and you take I-5, is it worth it? Knowing that for several months, you're going to have to sit in awful traffic as they complete this project.
No, it's not worth it. It's not. For five minutes of my day, I'm okay. I don't need to get home at 6:40 instead of 6:45. I can deal with 6:45.
It's 5 minutes. Now, the question always becomes, what is that number where you can say it's worth it short term for the pain in the butt to deal with, as well as the cost associated with it? And I don't always know what that answer is, because with you for 5 minutes, yeah, I'm with you. 5 minutes is not all that meaningful to me. I can stand to be in the radio, to be in the car listening to the radio for an extra 5 minutes. That's an extra 5 minutes of Ben Shapiro show, or for people who are listening during my show during the commute, it's an extra 5 minutes of me. That's great. Hopefully you're getting some commercials mixed in so you can support our sponsors and keep me on the air. An hour, all of us would very easily say, oh yeah, totally. We would definitely want to save an hour. That's an insane amount of time. We should spend as much as you need. I will put up with horrible traffic for the next year to save an hour daily off of my commute. So that's an easy one. But what is that number in between where it becomes, okay, you're with me. Is it 15 minutes or 20 minutes?
I feel like the number
is 20 minutes is kind of getting there.
I feel like the number isn't as important as the congestion is. I'm fine with,
solid... the congestion keeps you on the road longer.
No, I get that, but doing 30 miles an hour through a 2 mile stretch is way better than slowing down to 5 miles an hour for a 1 mile stretch. I'd rather keep a steady pace. It's about the pace that I'm going at.
That's a weird.
Is it that weird to look at it that way?
That's weird to me. Yeah, because you don't look at the total commute time.
No, I hate having to hit the brakes, stop, and be doing zero on the freeway.
I totally get that. And if you want to weigh in, you can send us a text at 1-800-465-8770. So you're arguing you'd be okay with an hour commute to Newcastle from Seattle if, for the most part, you were able to keep a steady drive, a steady pace, versus being stuck in traffic for 40 minutes at a crawl, and then the last 20 minutes you're just speeding through.
Yeah, I would rather keep the steady pace. The stop and go is brutal to me.
Oh,
and
they're nuts.
And then people are waving people over in front of them. It's like, hey, zipper merge, have you ever heard of it? And then you just start yelling at people. You see a random dog running down the side of the highway.
That's just scary. And you're always like, no, don't get hit. And then you're looking at it. Which,
this was literally last week. I saw a dog running on I-5.
So you would rather a 60-minute commute where you're not stop and go versus a 30-minute commute where you're stop and go?
I mean, it depends on, if I'm going,
Because that's what you're arguing.
Yeah.
That's nuts. You're a crazy person.
I like the pace.
You're nuts. You're absolutely nuts.
Makes me feel better. I hate stop and go. I hate being stopped dead for traffic in the middle of Seattle for no reason. You get to the end of traffic and there's nothing there. The crash has been gone for an hour and a half.
That's
and
you're JBLM all the time.
And you're like, what was I sitting there stopped for? This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, people are stupid, but you're stupid.
Yes, I am. I've never said I wasn't.
We're on the same page. You wouldn't say 30 minutes? You're nuts.
Just to sit stopped on the middle of the highway?
Yeah, if it meant you save 30 minutes.
Look, once I can
get
my...
You're a lunatic.
Once I can get my hands on one of those Teslas that just drives me everywhere, then we can have all the traffic in the world. I don't care.
Best text came in from the 253. I agree with Dummy. He's talking about you.
Hey, I'm Dummy.
Yelp, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rance Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that. 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Cleaning. Here's how this works. The media is hyper-focused on the city of Seattle. They end up ignoring so many other important stories happening in the communities you live in and care about most. So we ignore Seattle and instead focus on your neighborhoods. And we start in Whatcom County because they just changed their code regarding public indecency. This is good news for some. You might like it. Stop it. Okay, you done? Okay, this is good news for you. Oh my gosh. They're just going to keep going. Can you stop? I think you're going to... Thank you. According to the Bellingham Herald, breastfeeding is no longer considered indecent exposure anymore. The measure was approved unanimously by the Whatcom County Council. It brings a local public nudity ordinance in line with state law and with current social norms. See? See? You were booing me before, dummies. Okay, it's not... I mean, let's relax. Okay. Okay, let's... Okay, chill out. You're not even pregnant. Just stop. You don't even have kids, lady. You done? Okay. However, there's some controversy. No, we're not doing that again. I'm shutting you ladies down. Kids are on my side on that one. I don't know why they're here.
Yeah, why are they excited?
I don't understand. Whatcom County Code regarding unlawful exposure says that it, quote, is unlawful for any female to expose or permit public display of her bosom in the nude or substantially exposed to public view in any public establishment. So council member Carol Frazee added this language via her measure that, again, was unanimously applied. Except this shall not apply to a person who is breastfeeding a child. A person shall have the right to breastfeed a child in any location, public or private, where the person has the right to be with their child without respect to whether the person's breast or any part of it is uncovered during or incidental to the breastfeeding of the child. Did you notice that one of the pieces of language that I used there?
No, I didn't.
You didn't remember?
It must have slid past me.
Except this shall not apply to a person who is breastfeeding.
Oh, you said person. That's woke.
So Councilwoman Kathy Kirshner was all like, wait a minute, let's change person to woman because only women can breastfeed. A person can't, a man can't, only a woman can. Or at least a biological woman. That was defeated 4-3. They went with person. According to Frazee, she said, quote, I believe the word person is better than female because there are people who do lactate who do not identify as female. I believe the word person is more inclusive.
It's an inclusive bill.
Okay, so I guess men can breastfeed now too?
Sure, they can produce lactate.
Can produce lactate. Okay, thanks. Thanks, doctor. Oh my gosh. Councilman Rudd Brown said it was sensible to use the gender neutral term. Is it though? Is it sensible? So every time I talk about this issue, I end up getting yelled at by mothers, or at least on our sister station. And I used to at some point just troll the moms on this because they're so insufferable. The mommy bloggers, they're the worst. Put that on the list of things I hate. Mommy bloggers. Oh my gosh. So you don't need to breastfeed in public all the time. You don't always need to just pull it out and feed your kid right in the middle of everyone eating dinner.
You're pro-children starving. Okay, Jason.
I'm just saying, there are places you can go that offer some level of privacy. It feels like the folks who choose not to go to more private spaces to breastfeed are doing it because they're not really caring about the kid. They're caring about the political statement or the social statement that they're making by doing it in public. That bothers me because what do I hate more than anything in the world?
Virtue signaling.
And this is a form of virtue signaling.
And mommy bloggers, apparently.
And, well, I mean, they're the worst. That's what you're doing. I'm not holding this position where there is no reasonable place for you to go or from a privacy perspective, or I'm not holding this position in cases of whatever emergency might come up, a breastfeeding emergency if such exists. I am, however, saying if there are places you can breastfeed a little bit more discreetly, people around you probably would appreciate it. People at the dinner, at the restaurant that you're at, probably would appreciate not having to see this happen.
That child, though, Jason, wouldn't appreciate it.
You know, the child doesn't care if the child is eating or drinking, breastfeeding, in a more private space. Maybe in fact, the kid wants it too. The kid doesn't want people seeing it breastfeed.
I think the kid wants a seat at the table.
No, I don't think the kid does. The kid just wants the milk. That's it. That's all the kid wants. Kid's hungry, but a little bit self-conscious. We don't need this to happen. And then the other thing is, you can cover yourself up a little bit too. It's uncomfortable for people. Why? It's natural. Okay, there are lots of things that are natural that we do in private. Lots of things. You know exactly what it is I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Can we not? Well, how dare you equate the two? I'm not equating the two, dum-dum. You're the one telling me your argument is, well, it's natural. Yes, and I'm saying there are lots of things that are natural that we don't do in public. Why can't we just acknowledge that? It is not an insult. It is not me telling you not to feed your kid. Go ahead, feed your kid. Again, if there's no other options, feed the kid. I'm saying if there's options, go use it. Why is that controversial?
Did you ever have any of those mommy blogger-ons on the show to, like, talk about this? Because I think that would be a fun conversation.
They don't talk. They just yell.
Which is why I think it would be a fun...
While breastfeeding.
That would be such a fun conversation.
So annoying. Just so annoying. Your kid is not a prop. My gosh. Your kid is not a prop. Stop using them that way. More than 80 business owners in the city of Burien have sent an open letter to the city leadership saying, can y'all help us just a little bit dealing with the increase in property crime? Because they say they're seeing a huge surge in property crime. People breaking into their cars, their businesses. A church was just broken into. And it's very clearly, in a lot of cases, though not exclusively, due to the homelessness crisis, although some people don't want to say that directly for fear that they'll get canceled.
So just coming through the alleys, sometimes we have a lot of homeless people. No, I don't want to keep using the word homeless because
you can use
it. They're homeless.
Yeah, they are.
What if they're just people that want to do bad things?
No, they're also homeless. You can say homeless. It's okay. I'm not going to tell on you. Dude said it, and then immediately said, oh my God, they're going to boycott my business. I better not say anything more to Cairo 7. Please keep this part where I walk it back. Please, please, please keep this part in there while I walk it back. I didn't mean that. I don't know. I can't tell if anyone's homeless. I can't tell. I have no idea. They're just like you and me. That person over, I can't tell that person's homeless. Sir, they're not wearing a shirt, and their jeans have a bunch of holes in them, and they're covered in filth, and they're holding up a sign that says, we'll work for food. Oh, that could be anyone. That person over there could be homeless. The person in that designer suit, yeah, that person could be homeless too. I don't judge. Okay, stop. Stop this nonsense. So what is being done? Well, Burien Councilmember Kevin Schilling has some words. They don't actually mean anything, but words, 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 words.
I think these sentiments just sort of speak to the need for some re-engagement, some reinvigoration, and we're working hard at the city to do that.
You want to tell us what that actually means? You're working hard at what? Reinvigorating what? What does that mean? Seriously, what does that mean? Those were just words. What is that? What he just said? What does that mean?
There's no weight to any of it.
You know, we're doing a lot of work to address the problem that you've just presented with the work on our end that will address the problem. Yeah, but what's the work that you're doing? Oh, we're doing a whole bunch of work that gets to the root causes of the problem. Okay. No. I got it. But what's the work that you're actually doing? We're rolling up our sleeves, and we're getting in there, getting down and dirty. We're fixing these problems. No, I know. But how are you fixing the problems? With hard work. Oh, never mind, council member. From the sheriff's office perspective, since they're involved here, their officer, Troy Smithmeyer, says, yeah, property crime numbers are rising, so we're going to address it this way.
So we started this emphasis, and it's going to be, you know, 7 days a week. It's not going to be every day, but it will be, you know, during these hours, various hours where we think we have the most activity, especially early in the morning and later in the evening.
Which is obviously good news, pending availability of staff. Because the King County Sheriff's Office is dealing with not necessarily the mass exodus that the Seattle Police Department is dealing with, but they are dealing with a staff shortage, and they need to fill some roles. They're dealing with some problems, too, and so if they have it, obviously they'll put it. But if there's other issues they need to be focused on, they're going to do it. So we have to go back to our friend Kevin Schilling, who's doing the hard work. He won't tell us what it means, but it's reinvigorating. He's giving massages to people.
Look, you can get anywhere with very vague sentences.
We're getting down and dirty. We're doing all the hard work on this problem of yours.
Takes a village.
It takes a village to reinvigorate and renegotiate. What?
What was the plant the garden one earlier?
Gotta get your hands dirty to plant a garden or something.
Something like that.
We're planting. Are you literally planting a garden? Well, you know, these ideas, they start as a seed, and then they blossom into a result. What's the watering of the plant? Like, that's the plan, right? Yeah, that's a good point, Jason. Watering the seed is how the program grows. Okay, so outside of the metaphor, what is the watering? What is that? What is the actual watering? Silly. Have a good day. And he just walks out of the office. No, come back. Welcome back to the Jason Rants Show. Everything is racist. There's an article, an editorial in the LA Times by Ashley Lee, who is a staff reporter, but I guess she writes commentary as well, which should remind you that there's no interest in even pretending most reporters are objective anymore. It's kind of silly. Some are, obviously, but most don't seem to be. The commentary is called "The Casual Racism of Mispronouncing an Asian Person's Name." Casual racism of mispronouncing someone's name. Now, the current conversation on hate went from Black lives to Asian lives. So obviously it's more specific to the casual racism of mispronouncing an Asian person's name, presumably just in this country. Lee writes, mispronouncing someone's name accidentally or on purpose at the very least demonstrates a selective laziness to learn the correct way to address or acknowledge a person. The name is perceived as particularly difficult only because it's beyond the white European names that have been deemed normal. Well, yes, that's true. Correct. She says that as if that's unreasonable or racist, when it's neither. If you are exposed to a name you have never seen or heard, you will likely mispronounce it. That does not make you racist. That is not a microaggression. It is not a macroaggression either. You see, if a uniquely named American goes to an Asian country, guess what happens? Might be some mispronunciations. And that is okay. Now, most normal people look at this and think to themselves, I've known plenty of, say, white people whose names I couldn't figure out. There is someone in our office, for example, our HR director, Did you say our HR director's name correctly the first time?
Not for like the first month.
Yeah.
You kept having to remind me.
Is that because you hate white people? Don't answer that question. I'm going to think no.
I'll let you think what you'd like.
There are people who have Stephen versus Stefan versus Stefan who are white, who I've had problems pronouncing. Sometimes I suppose I'll go, is it Stephen? Oh, no, it's Stefan, racist. I'm sorry. There's the whole Alec versus Alex versus Alex, spelled Alec but pronounced Alex, and vice versa. This stuff happens all the time, and it is okay. It is okay. Not everything is racist, no matter what folks on the left want you to think. And I had a thought earlier today, and it's nothing new. I've been thinking about this for a while. It's obviously annoying that we have to have these conversations ad nauseum about how absolutely everything is racist, even though none of what they're claiming is racist is actually racist. But in a lot of ways, that shows progress. That of all the things that you can be complaining about, you're going to pretend that this is an issue. You are going to pretend that this is an issue. That said, Peyton is Asian.
Yes.
And I pronounced his name, I wish you weren't my producer, for at least 6 months. I still sometimes, by accident, pronounce his name that way. I'm working on it. It's not due to him being Asian. It's due to I've not seen his name before or experienced this level of incompetence as a producer before. And so that's the problem. I like this. She goes, people like my parents hope to shield me by assigning me an Anglicized given name at birth. Making my name more convenient for others was a defensive move to lessen the likelihood of being bullied about my race and to up my chances of blending in, belonging, and being seen as equal to my peers. Now, presumably, people can see someone's Asian identity. Not always. But you don't always need a name to recognize someone as Asian or Black or Latino. In your case, people confuse you for Latino and Asian and white sometimes as well. But in a lot of cases, it's not always the name. Your name is Peyton, which is a very white name, I suppose. I mean, it's not an Asian name.
Not an Asian
name. It's not a traditional Asian name.
No.
And yet, I can identify you as at least not white. So I don't understand why we're going to pretend we're going to go down this way. She goes, when done willfully, it's a conscious decision to weaponize one's name, a deeply personal signifier of ethnic background and family lineage, against them, othering and invalidating them in a culture that already upholds white supremacy. Now, the latter part of that statement is, of course, stupid. It's certainly true that people can purposefully mispronounce a name with racist intent. That's true. I'll give you that. I've seen people do that with Shama Sawan. People say Kushama, knowing that it's actually Shama. I think that has certainly racist intent, potentially. The other intent is also just to annoy someone, which is also true. But I will give her that part. But the idea that you might accidentally mispronounce a name that is difficult to understand because we don't have that name common here, that somehow that is racist? No, it's not. You made a mistake. It's okay to make mistakes, even if she wants to pretend your every mistake is actually a racist microaggression.